it just led me to a place of I didn't feel authentic in my business anymore. And I didn't feel like it was me. I just kept going down that line of what do the people want? What do the people want?
Hi, friend. Welcome to Gather and Growth, a show created for passionate, growth-focused rural women like you. From mindset work and building strong habits to exploring the unique joys and challenges of living rural, this is a show to leave you feeling joyful, inspired, and a little less alone. Together, we're on a journey of reaching for the most confident, healthy, and authentic version of ourselves, and I'm forever grateful to have you by my side. Whether you're currently running on a back road, shuffling kids to town, hopping along for a tractor ride, or three loads deep into folding laundry, grab yourself a nice coffee and let's dive in.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to Gather and Grow. Today, I'm so excited to be joined by my friend, Carrie Jo, who actually lives really close to me. We live like less than 40 minutes from each other.
Yeah, actually we do.
And I also have my tiny baby sidekick here. So I can almost guarantee, despite the best efforts of the best editing crew on the planet, that you will also have the joy of hearing some baby noises. So anyway, Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Emily. I'm excited.
Me too. I'm really pumped about today's conversation. I'm sure we'll go a million different directions, but when I think of you, I think of what it looks like to pivot and reinvent yourself and step outside of the box and change directions from the trajectory you thought you'd be on, which I guess leads us really well to, if someone's getting to know you for the first time, give us a little context of who you are, where you are, and what brought you here today? It's a big open-ended question. I know.
I know, because it's like when you meet somebody on an airplane or, you know, you and they're like, what do you do? And it's like, well, how much do you want to know? Because it's like, well, I practice as a veterinarian. I also own a couple businesses. And so I do have a little bit of everything going on. But that's just like kind of the way I like it. I have so many different interests that I love being creative, and I love being creative in all of the different ways. So yeah, I think it's hard to explain exactly what I do.
Let's start with when you set out into, you know, the big bad world after high school. Did you imagine you'd be doing what you are today?
Absolutely not. You know, in high school, they make you take all those career assessments, like to help you figure out what you'd be best at. Mm-hmm. And I always got two different directions. I got two polar opposites. I would always be told, well, you're really creative and you're really artistic, but you're also really good at science. And so I was always wrestling. I really loved art and I really loved creativity, but it never really seemed like this was before like the boom of the internet, pretty much.
Right.
Like there wasn't a lot of like graphic design, you know, all that stuff online where now is a very viable career. At the time, it was like, well, there's really not a lot of jobs in art for me to support myself.
Especially coming off a farm in Illinois.
Yeah, if you want to live in a small town, it's like you really don't have a lot of options. There's not a lot of job opportunity there. But like I said, back in the day, the working remote wasn't a thing. The working online wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. So going into science seemed like the most logical thing to do. And I was big into FFA and agriculture. And so I pursued the path of being a veterinarian from my logical brain.
The safe career choice.
Yeah, it was a safe. Everybody's always going to, there's always going to be animals. There's always going to be farm animals. We're always going to need somebody to take care of them. So that was very much the logical, responsible thing to do. And so never would I thought that I would have gone. You know, I still practice, but I'm definitely part-time 2 days a week. And I never would have thought I would have given up a full-time safe career to be able to do these riskier pursuits alongside my safe career.
So for someone who's not familiar with your story, can you tell us about how you got into the world of entrepreneurship, specifically with Rosebuds in the first place?
Yeah, I always had an interest in creative businesses. I was making, I was like flipping furniture a little bit, and then I was making jewelry and selling it in college. And then when I graduated vet school, mom got sick and I had to, well, I didn't have to, but I wanted to come home once a month. And those plane tickets can get pretty expensive when you're flying home monthly. It was like a $600 plane ticket every time. Plus I was having to rent a car. So side hustle was definitely the forefront of my mind. I was trying to figure out what can I do to bring in a little bit of extra cash to kind of help supplement. Mm-hmm. And I had been drawing on my days off, and I don't know how it popped into my head, but I Googled how to start a t-shirt business. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of Googled my way into the side hustle of t-shirts, and then realized I really loved business, and I really loved having a business where I can kind of express my creative side. And it just kind of kept building year after year. So that's how I got to the point where I was like, hey, I truly, really enjoy this. And it gives me so much freedom to where I decided to go part-time in my veterinary career.
Okay. I would love to talk about that period of time too, of like the inner dialogue and also the external conversations you were having when you were like, okay, wait, this like thing I started for fun and for like some financial bonus while I'm in school. Like, this is actually what I want to be spending as much or more of my time doing than this career that not only have I pursued out of college, but like gotten postgraduate degrees and invested so much time and money and effort into. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that season like?
So honestly, I think it's weird how things happen. Like, everything happens for a reason. And it probably would have turned out differently had I not been through the situation with my mom. Going through that with my mom, with her being sick and so sick so fast, she did end up passing away within 9 months of the diagnosis. And so going through that whole phase where like life is short, she was only 52, and realizing that I didn't want to spend my whole life kind of just working and grinding away and not enjoy a whole, 100% what I'm doing. So I definitely started to reevaluate, do I want to work 70 hours a week? Is this actually how I want to spend my life if I get a cancer diagnosis at 50 or whenever? So it just made me really think deeply about it. And I decided, no, I think I want to have a better quality of life than living next to my phone and, waiting for the phone to ring and getting out of bed in the middle of the night. So that's how it started. I didn't even know quitting my job was a possibility, though, because it's not something that we were ever told we could do. You know, you get a job, you work till retirement, and then that's it. You don't really switch for years. Right.
Unless you're like moving up or pursuing like something bigger and better. Yeah. And to go from veterinary science to slinging t-shirts online, which is a very watered down version of what you do. I'm not saying that from my perspective, but like,
that's what I say. Yeah.
But like, what kind of, pushback or conversations were you having? Cause I just know that like a lot of women in this community are considering or in the process of transitioning or reimagining themselves or, pursuing that level of intentionality. And like one of the biggest underlying fears beyond like, can I do this, is what are they going to think? Whether it's their spouse or their in-laws or their neighbors or just people in town, especially in the small towns that we know and love, it can be a very like microscope. Oh, everyone's watching my move and they're going to see me fail. And that will be the biggest crisis ever kind of feeling. So how did you navigate that?
I think going part-time helped with that scariness. I didn't just quit all of a sudden and jump in. And also, it was very slow. Like, from the outside looking in, it looks like, oh, she just up and quit her full-time job and jumped into t-shirts. But it was like a year and a half where I was really debating it. So it was a very slow process of saving money to have some extra cushion. And while I was working full time, I was setting aside a safety net, and I had the intention that I was going to go part time. Mm-hmm. And so it just took a lot of convincing myself, honestly. The people around me, they didn't care. My dad was very supportive. My brother's like, good for you. My friends are like, awesome. Nobody else really cared. And as far as like the other people in your small town that might judge you, I did have a lot of comments of people like, well, when are you going to buy your vet practice? When are you getting back into work from your vacation that you're taking? It's just kind of shrug it off. It's like, it's fine. Like, I don't have to answer to you. And when I look back on my life, like, I'm living for me. And mm-hmm. so it's just making that decision of, I'm not living for Joe Schmo down the street of my small town, like, to make them happy. At the end of my life, I'm one to be the one that like looks back and be like, yeah, I had a good time. I loved spending time with my friends and family. I had good relationships. I'm proud of what I did. So that was really what motivated me. And it was a slower process than probably what it looks like on the outside.
Well, that's a really good point, just in general, is like what other people's perception of what the process looks like versus, you know, what you're navigating is always so important to keep in mind. Cause I mean, this is a whole nother side tangent, but it's really easy to hop on the internet and get little snippets of people's stories and compare mm-hmm. ourselves against, you know, their timeline or what they're going through, which can yeah. be such a dangerous trap of comparison, especially because we're not just doing it with one person. We get right. these like micro doses of everyone's stories and compare ourselves against 30-second clips of 1,000 different people's lives, which is a, like I said, a whole nother side tangent. But I think what I see in what you just shared is like being really clear about why you're doing something. And for you, it sounded like it was live in the moment. Like yeah. tomorrow isn't guaranteed and I want to be spending my time doing what matters most. And other people's opinions don't really factor into that when you're really grounded yeah. in why you're doing something and why it's important to you.
Exactly. Yeah, it was really just a shift in perception of how I wanted to live my life. You know, I grew up being super achievement oriented and thinking that I wanted to own a vet clinic and work with all these animals and be this great vet. And then once I got to that, I'm like, that requires a lot of time sacrifice with your family. You know, I didn't even have time to date. I'm like, how the heck am I even going to get to that point if I am working 70, 80 hours a week? So it was just kind of a shift in my perception of how I wanted to live my life. I wanted to value my time and my relationships over furthering that career. You know, it's like, for what?
Yeah. I love that you bring up that like growing up with an achievement mentality, because I know I so deeply resonate with that. And I know a lot of women I work with do. So how has that affected or played a part in growing the businesses that you run now?
It's definitely still very much there. I definitely still operate under the achievement mentality of setting lots of goals. And, you know, I'm always wanting to be better. I have an addiction to like personal development. Of course, we've talked about that before because, you know, we've talked about diving into all these books and podcasts and all the things. And I still very much, I think it serves us to a point, right? Like it serves us to be better individuals and better business owners to a point to where it could potentially be unhealthy, but it's definitely there for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that's been a really big part of my journey over the past, you know, couple of years is like finding that in between with that, you know, wanting to improve and achieve and be the best that I can. And, you know, which can be a really slippery slope to like achievement and approval addiction, especially mm-hmm. I'm an Enneagram 3. I don't know about you. And then, you know, but at the same time, like what that means for like the fast track to burnout and doing things from a really unhealthy, unhealed space. And so
yep.
then coming down from that is like finding, okay, what's the middle ground that like feels really fun and exciting and good, but is still taking into consideration like my mental health and the things that matter yeah. the most. And like just also being content and joyful in the moment. It's such an interesting space, especially in the world of entrepreneurship, to navigate
that. Yep. And just asking yourself, like, is this something that I'm doing for me? Or is this something I'm doing because I think it will make me be a certain way or look a certain way or come across a certain way? And it's like you get into that achievement mentality to the point where it's like, okay, am I doing this for other people or am I doing this really for myself? Yes. So that's that line that I just have to keep asking myself, you know, to reel yourself back in a little bit.
Yeah. Is that part of what contributed to, you just went through a pretty significant like rebrand and kind of taking a lot of pieces from Rosebuds into Kelso & Co, right? I'm saying that right?
Yeah.
What were some of the factors that led you, you know, speaking of pivoting and reimagining, what prompted that transition from Rosebuds to Kelso & Co?
So I actually was listening to your last, I think it was your recent podcast release where you were talking about intuition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were talking about kind of, you gave an example in your own business about how you were listening to what these other people were like telling you in the DMs or comments or conversations. Mm-hmm. And you were like, oh, I'm going to run my business this way. But then it ultimately didn't align with what you felt was best, you know? And so you went against your intuition. Yeah. That's exactly what has happened to me. Like, I ran my business in the first 7 years based on what I thought other people wanted from me. Mm-hmm. And it's wild that it took me 7 years to get to the breaking point of like, wait a second, I don't like this. Like, I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. But they always, you know, you hear, listen to your customer, do what your customers want. And you start to question your own like judgment and vision, and you don't trust yourself to make those kinds of decisions anymore. So you're just looking outward. And that's what I was doing. I was looking outward. I wasn't doing any reflection. I wasn't going inward. Well, it just led me to a place of, I didn't feel authentic in my business anymore. And I didn't feel like it was me. I just kept going down that line of, what do the people want? What do the people want?
Yeah.
And so part of working with my coach, Susie, she helped me kind of peel the layers back and get to the point of like, what's your dream business? Like, where do you feel most authentically you? And how do we make that happen? And so it was a kind of unraveling sorts over the last year.
Yeah. We talk about like the golden handcuffs in terms of a lot of times corporate or more traditional spaces, and how it's like, oh, well, you know, I got to get the next promotion, or I'm coming up on this bonus, or what about the insurance? But it's interesting that even in your own business, like you can get so trapped in, especially when things are going well, because it's not like you got to a breaking point in business where it's like, oh, everything's crumbling. I've got to reimagine this in order to survive. It's like when you have this sustainable system with consistency and people seem to like it and, you know, they ask for this. And so then you do it. It almost feels like that's kind of where you got to in a totally different way when you're like supposed to be in control.
Yeah. I didn't feel like I could relate to it anymore. It just wasn't me. And you lose the joy when you're doing like business, like how we do business, where we're like, we are the business in a lot of ways with a lot of help, but we're in it. Mm-hmm. When we don't feel like it's a reflection of us, it's more challenging to do well, to be honest.
I think it's one thing to like make the leap into entrepreneurship. Yeah. And like kind of leave behind what you always thought that you would do. And I just wonder, and I ask this because I think I'm in the middle of kind of redefining what my business looks like, or just even like, you know, what am I saying? What is like the big overarching message? Because I think in so many ways, like when I started this, like it's almost like in a lot of ways I've grown through and out of like what my original messaging was. So
yeah,
I'm like in the process of pinpointing, like, what does the next evolution of this look like? And it's almost harder and scarier than it was to like jump in feet first into this in the first place.
Yes, 100%.
So maybe that's just me like selfishly personally asking, is like, what was that process like as an entrepreneur to be like, okay, I'm going to scrap all of this and maybe not scrap it, because there are so many pieces of Rosebuds that have come along with you. But what did that process look like, feel like? I know you said it took like about a year, but.
Yeah. So I agree with you. The process of jumping from like being a full-time veterinarian into like a part-time hybrid situation, that was to me like easy. Because I mean, it took a lot of preparation, but like in the moment of doing it, when it came time to do that, it was like an experiment. It was fun. It was like, let's see what we can do. You had this like momentum. And then versus this other point where you're starting to outgrow the old version.
Yes.
And you feel yourself like evolving and growing into a different version. Mm-hmm. That part is like, there's a lot of self-doubt. There's like, I don't know, is this the right direction? Like, this feels a little scary. Are people going to stay with me? Are they going to leave me? You know, you have a lot of mixed emotions about that. So it's definitely a lot scarier. And it's just a totally different evolution. Just mm-hmm. totally different. I think having a coach definitely helped me because I'm so in my head all the time. It was nice mm-hmm. to have somebody outside kind of giving me feedback of guiding me forward. Sometimes she could see the big picture and I was so stuck on these little things that didn't even matter. So mm-hmm. having a coach through that process was very helpful. But I agree with you that I think they're totally different. It's mm-hmm. two different evolutions.
Yeah. And so for someone who is navigating a transition of their own, whether it's pivoting or intentionality, whether it's related to professionally or family or health, like what advice would you give a person in a transitional situation or who's even feeling that pull to evolve but doesn't know what that looks like?
Yeah, it can be frustrating. For, and I don't know if this is just me or maybe our personality types, but in that moment, the uncertainty to me is kind of frustrating because, and it's a little bit anxiety inducing, you know, because you're like, I just want to know what is yes. next. Like, I just want to know what that looks like. And so for me, what helped is just like full acceptance of this is the part that I'm at, you know, there are no mistakes. I'm being guided forward. This is working out. This is working for me. And just kind of keep reminding myself those things, but also practicing things like mindfulness. Mm-hmm. I have to sit in like quiet sometimes, just like meditation, quiet time, whatever you want to call it, of just like letting your brain rest. So that gives me more big picture, like vision of what I want my future to look like. So those things really help me too, because I still feel a little bit of that uncertainty. I still feel a little bit in that limbo land, but you're probably there right now a little bit. It sounds
like. Yeah. I feel like I have kind of been there for, I don't know, just in general. I think 2023 was a really introspective year for me. I think unexpectedly being pregnant just really forced me to slow down and, you know, get even more intentional again around mm-hmm. like what I wanted the next phase of life and business to look like. And so now I'm kind of coming out on the other side of that and just like, okay, I'm ready. I'm open. I've been patient. Like it was the first time I feel like I haven't rushed something. And so, yeah, I mean, that's where I'm going to Susie's retreat in April. And I'm just looking forward to being in that side of the chair. Like I need a mm-hmm. me for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really good at helping draw those things out of other people. And I'm just ready to be in the position of being coached in that way again. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
That'll be a good experience. I'm excited for you.
Me too. I'm really excited about what's to come. But it's also, like you said, it's uncomfortable and scary, but in different ways. It's almost like the more you know, like jumping into this headfirst without knowing was adrenaline. Oh, yeah. But it's cool. And I think that's the power of being able to give ourselves permission to evolve and be leaders in what it looks like to lean into intuition and intentionality. And I know a lot of people really look to you for advice on getting started in the entrepreneurial space, especially in small towns. I can't remember like what your, if you haven't name for the segment, but a lot of times people like comment in like boxes on stories, like asking for advice on like mindset and entrepreneurship. What are some of the overarching themes that you see in those situations? And what advice would you give for aspiring or new business owners who are looking to break into this?
Yeah. Most of the people that follow me have this Instagram close friends list, which really it's just people from Rosebuds that want to know like more about the business side or evolution side of the personal side of it, right? So the themes though, like you said, there's like usually an overarching theme of mindset in small town and rural women where they are kind of in their own way. They're conditioned that hard work equals money. So you can't make a lot of money unless you work really, 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 really hard, which mm-hmm. isn't true. There's mindset blocks around just what they can and can't do because of where they're from. And so I think they almost like realize it as soon as they see it there on the stories. It's like, they're, oh my gosh, like I know, I knew that, I saw that, I can't, like what took them saying it out loud. So I feel like we all have a little bit of that conditioning. If you grow up like in a small town or rural area or grew up on a farm, you have a little some sort of block around hard work or money or business because we're just so ingrained in that like manual labor mm-hmm. equals money.
Right. No days off.
No days off. Like you can't mm-hmm. take any breaks.
Which is like, I've talked about this on the podcast before of just like, that's such a beautiful and cool thing about the agricultural industry is the sincere worth ethic. But mm-hmm. I think like you brought up, like so oftentimes it's a roadblock. Like we just feel like yeah. we have to burn ourselves to the ground in order to not only make money, but like be worthy. And yeah. like, if we are not physically, emotionally, mentally exhausted, then we're obviously not trying hard enough.
Right. Like you do not get a trophy for that.
Yes. And it's not like when it comes to entrepreneurship, it's not always the best way to do things.
No.
So how did you rewire that? And how do you help other people understand and reframe that within themselves?
I kind of came across that realization when I was going through all of that with my mom. It was a lot of self-reflection of, wait a second, I'm working all of this time so that I can earn a living to be able to like support a family or spend time with the family, but I don't have any time to do this. And so I did start reading more. I'm trying to think, I can't think of a book off the top of my head. I'd have to think about that. But I've dove more into like the self-development books and mm-hmm. all just kind of spiraled into this. Oh, like I've been conditioned to believe this certain way, mm-hmm. but I don't want to do that anymore. Like I'm done. I just had this breaking point of realization and awareness. And it's like, I'm over that. Like, mm-hmm. goodbye. That doesn't serve me anymore. And a lot of people just don't ever get to that point of awareness, or they don't know. They don't know what they don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Until they kind of see into a glimpse of somebody else's life or one of those stories of the mindset flips that we do on Instagram. So I think that's the biggest gift is just coming into awareness. It's like, it doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah. I relate to that so deeply. So I started in education and then was in the nonprofit space. And in both careers, which I loved deeply, I was so passionate about, like I gave all of myself and then some, often at the expense of my family and definitely yeah. at the expense of myself. And both times it just proved to be completely unsustainable. And so when I came into entrepreneurship, it was like, this has got to look different. And then I kind of led down a path of, again, burnout. Like, I'm going to do this. 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 And it was like,
yep.
For what? Like, that doesn't feel good either. And then coming into 2024, like, I made some pretty big changes in my business to open up my calendar. And it's like, my income hasn't been affected. It's just like, we are our biggest roadblocks in that. And like yes. you said, not to say it comes easily, like, that comes with having to figure things out. And you know, put in work in other ways, but like it really is possible to support your family and have a life that feels good all around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's crazy the things that we tell ourselves.
Yes.
A lot of times we make it up or that's what we were told and we just take it as fact.
Mm-hmm. You also brought up the mindset of just what it looks like to be a business owner in a small town. Would you be willing to speak on that some more also? Just like what limiting beliefs or mindsets we get stuck in and how to break through them or challenge them?
Yeah. So one thing that I had that I've had to work through is growing up, I always heard my parents talk about how, just in passing, no one in specific, but businesses don't make it in a small town. You know, well, we live in a small town, that's never going to work out. Or, you know, I just had all this conditioning around that. And it wasn't just them. It's people in the community, like, say that all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So as a small business owner in a small town, I've had to do a lot of mindset work around that. And the work itself just looks like being aware of those comments when I make them or when somebody else makes them, and recognizing it and just being like, wait a second, that's not true. What else could be true? Could it be true that I am super successful in a small town, that all these community people want to show up and support us? That could also be true. And so it's just a matter of catching myself in the moment and trying to rework those beliefs over a period of time.
Well, I think a lot of that comes back to also who you're surrounding yourself with. If you're a business owner in a small town and you're constantly in conversation with people who believe that businesses can't be successful in a small town, like, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, it is going to be hard to be successful in business in a small town. But if you surround yourself or connect yourself, whether in person or virtually, with other people who are doing very cool things in small towns and believe in the possibility and are challenging the mindsets and really working on their businesses and being innovative and creative, like, that totally changes things. I think, you know, one thing I see is in businesses in small towns, sometimes when they don't, you know, have the success they want, they show up and then it just expect everyone to just walk through the doors and everything's going to work. But
the if you build it, they will come mentality.
And it's like, you still got to, it doesn't matter if you are in Chicago or small town, wherever, like, you have to be creative and innovative and smart and, you know, all sorts of different things in order to run a successful business.
Yeah, 100%.
So you, in addition to, you know, what we see online with Rosebuds and now Kelsa & Co., you are also have an event space in town.
Yes. So in my hometown, we have a cute little downtown square. And a couple of years ago, I was planning a bridal shower for my sister-in-law. And wouldn't it be great if we just had a cute little space on the square next to all the restaurants and shops and bars and everything? Like, what if we just had something there? Wouldn't that be nice? And then, yeah, turn of events, I ended up purchasing a building downtown and we turned it into a small event space. So mostly bridal showers, baby showers, birthday parties, that sort of thing.
I feel like that's such a need. Like, I cannot get on a local Facebook group without people being like, where can I host X, Y, and Z? Like, you know, I think that's a big need in a lot of small towns. So how did you get started into that? And any advice to someone who's interested in potentially filling that need?
Well, I have absolutely no experience previously to renovating an old building or having an event space or being an event planner. So I might not be the good or the best person to give advice on that specific situation, but it's all trial and error and it's all an experiment. And maybe my toxic trait is looking at something and being like, I can do that, you know, like, that's what happened. I'm like, we need that. I could do that. So with a huge team of people that knew a lot more about that stuff than I did, was able to bring that to the downtown area. So just surrounding yourself with people that know more than you, or having those connections of people that can help you with whatever it is, whether it's contractor work or paint or design, having a network of people that you can reach out to for that stuff is amazing.
I think that brings up such an important point, is like, you don't have to know everything. You have to have the vision, the heart, and the drive to figure it out, and then know how to bring the right people on board. And that goes for any goal ever.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
You know, if you can have the foresight to see where a project can go and then be able to bring the right people alongside you, like, truly, if there's a will, there's a way. Anything is possible.
So true.
Well, one thing I ask every guest on the show is, what does personal growth mean to you, specifically in this season? Which I think is a really cool question for you, especially since you said, like, personal growth is kind of what got you on this trajectory and then, you know, has really changed as you've evolved and your businesses have evolved over the years. So what does that look like for you right now?
So personal growth to me means, basically, am I living for me? And I don't mean that in a selfish way, but I mean that in a way of, you know, is what I'm doing, whether that's work or play, is this like fulfilling me as a person? Is this like, is it adding value to my life, basically? So that's where I've kind of been focusing on the most the last few years, especially since all of that, what happened, you know, 4 years ago. Since then, it's just like, is this adding value? Is this something that's making me feel better? Is this improving my health? And just kind of reevaluating everything from time to time. And if it doesn't fit in that category anymore, then it's got to go.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Giving yourself permission to evolve. It's all coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. Full circle moment.
Yeah. So if people want to learn more about you and get connected to all that you have going on and the mad, awesome business advice you have to offer, where can we find you online?
Well, I'm at Kelso and Company. My personal Instagram is KJo Kelso. And then the event center is the Small Towner Macomb.
So cool. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. I feel like this interview has been a long time coming.
Well, thanks for the invite. So much fun.
Absolutely.
Maybe since we're only a few, you know, hop, skips, and a jumps away, we need to actually meet up in person.
I did think about you the other day. Andrew and I went on like a little a day date. We wanted sushi, and the one in Hannibal I've heard is really good, and it was closed. And so we like coming up to Macomb to, what's it called? Yummy Chen's or something.
You came to Yummy Chen's?
We did.
All the way? Wow. Okay. Was it worth the trip?
I mean, we've been there a few times before. It was fantastic. And it was just us and baby. Okay. So, fine. You know, we had long, you know, romantic walks down the Aldi and hiking grocery aisle and got sushi. Yes. But I was, we don't make it up to Macomb very often, but I thought of you. And so, yeah, one of these days we'll have to arrange actually meeting up for coffee or something.
Yes, for sure.
I love that. All right. Thank you.
See ya.
Have I told you today how much I appreciate you? I'd like to imagine this was a meaningful backyard patio kind of chat between friends sipping LaCroix at sunset. If you enjoyed today's show, please take a screenshot to share or forward this episode to a friend. You can also find me at Emily Rushell over on social to continue the conversation. It's truly a joy to hear what tidbits and takeaways made an impact on your day. As always, all links and resources mentioned in today's episode can be found in the show notes listed below or over at emilyrushell.com. Special thanks to my podcast manager, Jill Carr, for the time and love she puts into producing Gathering Growth for this community. What a blessing it is to be on this personal growth journey together. Forever grateful for you.